You don't get to determine what you're worth. When you tell God, I'm not worthy, you are saying, I'm not worth the price that was paid. But you listen to me and you listen well. The price paid determines the value.
If someone were to ask you to describe Jesus, what would you say? On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, join Jeremy Pearsons for an awesome study in the Word of God as he shares an empowering message on who Jesus is. Now here's Jeremy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Pearsons, and I'm excited again to be with you today and so thankful to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for giving me this opportunity. This is rare and special, and I so appreciate it. I love every opportunity I get to, number one, minister the Word of God. I just jump at it. But I really do appreciate the opportunity to come into your home, into your office, wherever it is that you're watching these broadcasts, because I understand the heritage. I understand the legacy of this particular broadcast. My grandparents have been doing this for so many years now, and I'm just thankful that the Lord has opened a door for me to be a part of that. So my wife, Sarah, and I, we love this. We love this ministry. We love our family, and we love you. We love the Lord in you. We love what God is doing in the body of Christ all over the world. And we've had the opportunity to study some wonderful things all this week and last week. If you've missed any of those broadcasts, go back to our website, kcm.org. Everything is there for you, and it's all free. Just get it. There's no excuse. There's no reason not to. If you don't know how to download something, just call somebody younger, and they'll know what to do. And just get a hold of this stuff and study the Word of God. You're going to love it. You're going to appreciate it. Let's pray again today before we get into this broadcast and ask the Lord to show us what we need to see, because He'll do it, right? Praise God. Father, we thank You today. Thank You and praise You in the mighty name of Jesus for all good things, all the things that Your Word has promised, all the things that we find in Your Word about who You are and what You are to us. We open our eyes and our ears today to receive things from the Spirit of God that only the Spirit of God can show us. And we don't look to each other, but our expectancy is on the Word. We place our expectation on You, Lord, and that's what You've asked us to do, so that's what we will do. We receive from You everything You have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in our last session, we began talking about what I called my favorite subject, as far as I'm concerned, the only subject. And it's not a thing, it's a person, and it's the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our hero, our rescuer. Jesus is. What is Jesus? He just is. He is everything. He is everything that God is, Jesus is. And when we're learning how to see an invisible God, that's what this whole, all these sessions have been about. That's what this book is about. Hello, My Name is God is really just a study in the character of God. And when you study that, you have to look at the person of Jesus. We've read in previous sessions where Colossians chapter 1 said that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. There is where you look. That is where you look when you're looking to study the plan of God and the will of God. You need look no further than the life and ministry of Jesus and then what the Spirit of God said in the Old Testament about Jesus coming. And then what He said through the Apostle Paul and others about what happened when Jesus came. And that's what this whole book's about. Not just my book, but the book. That's what this whole thing is about. And today I want to continue to talk about who Jesus is and what Jesus is to us and for us. We know He's the visible image of the invisible God. We now know that He is the express image of God, the plan of God, the will of God. And I want to see what Scripture says about Him and what He is and who He is for us. I'd like to take a lot of the time here in this session and just go through some things with you. I've got a list of here of all the different things I've found so far that Jesus is, and I know there's so many more, but I want to end up somewhere that I believe will really be a blessing to you. I want to start by first of all telling you that Jesus is the Word made flesh. John chapter 1 tells us that. As a matter of fact, let's turn there together. John chapter 1. I want you to see this for yourself because this is an important part of Scripture. This right here, if you'll understand this, this will open up Scripture for you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Doesn't that sound a lot like what we read in Colossians in our previous session where it talks about how Jesus made all things, whether visible or invisible? This is what it's saying. This is what John is saying in the exact same way. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Look at verse 14. And the Word, Jesus is the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh. When you study the Word, you are studying Jesus. When you study the grace of God, you are studying Jesus and who Jesus is. He is the grace of God towards you. He is the truth of God, the truth that is in God. And living by grace and living by faith, I mean, it's a relationship that goes hand in hand. And when you study these things, you need to know what this relationship is. You need to know how grace and faith work together. And the best way I know to explain it and describe it to you is to say this. There's a conversation that takes place between grace and faith. And grace is God's part of the conversation. Grace is God saying to you, hey, I got you something. And faith is you in response saying, thank you, I receive it. It's as simple as that. Grace is God saying to you, hey, look, I noticed that your righteousness was as filthy rags, that your robe of righteousness was all old and worn out and tattered and stained. So what I did, this is God saying this, what I did was I got you a new robe. And it's brand new and white, and it looks just like mine. And faith, watch this, faith is your part of the conversation and mine, where we take that, we rip open that box, and we say, thank you so much. This, it's exactly what I wanted. It's exactly what I needed. And you take that robe of righteousness, and you put it on, and you say, oh, it fits perfectly. That's your part in the conversation between grace and faith. Now, notice, God's grace is always saying, hey, I got you this. I purchased this for you. I did this for you. Healing belongs to you. Provision belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. But what our part, the conversation, the part of our conversation that we take, that faith part, notice it doesn't say, oh, Lord, I'm just unworthy. Lord, I couldn't receive that. I couldn't. No, faith says, thank you. Faith says, I'll take it. I appreciate it. I love it. And when the Word says that Jesus was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, we need to understand that part of the relationship between grace and faith. Now don't get caught up in saying, well, do we live by grace or do we live by faith? Or what teaching is better, grace teaching or faith teaching? Hey, look, if it's not both, it's not worth anything, all right? And don't turn your nose up when you hear somebody say, well, he's kind of a grace preacher. What are you? If you're not preaching grace, what are you preaching? And then on the other hand, don't get all upset. Well, all those word of faith preachers. Hey, listen to me. The word of faith, that little statement right there, word of faith, that's a scripture. That's in the book of Romans. So before you get all upset at word of faith, go read your Bible and realize that these things are to work together. We are saved by grace through faith. Amen? And all of it is the grace who is Jesus Christ, and our faith is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we spend our time talking about who Jesus is, my one goal is this. For those of you who consider yourselves men and women of faith, you walk by faith, you live by faith, you speak by faith, I want you to remind yourself of who your faith is in. We talk a lot about what we have faith for. I spend a lot of time with people who have faith for, and they've got faith for their marriage to be better. They got faith for a new car, or faith for a new place to live, or faith for healing. And, you know, it's good. But you cannot have faith for anything without first having faith in Jesus. You cannot have faith for healing without faith in the healer, can you? It's impossible. It will never produce. All it will produce is frustration in you. All it will produce is defeat and wondering why it works for the preacher and not for me. But if you won't separate the revelation from the revealer, if you won't separate healing from the healer, provision from the provider, you'll have it all. You'll have grace working in you and faith to receive that grace. And you'll recognize that when you need healing in your body, the first thing you do is you turn to the healer and you say, thank you, Jesus, for the completed work. Thank you for giving me. God, thank you for giving me healing. Because when He gave you Jesus, He gave you healing. Let me show you this. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now remember, we're going somewhere with all of this. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What is He saying? If He gave you Jesus, what would He hold back from you? Or really, when you look at it, you'll discover that He's saying this. When He gave you Jesus, healing didn't come as a benefit of that. Healing came because He gave you the healer. Provision doesn't come as just a little side throw-in thing here. Provision comes because He gave you the provider. Jesus is the measure of your wealth. Did you know that? It's not how hard you work to earn something. It's not how much you were striving just to by the sweat of your brow to get something and what you deserve. No, Jesus is the measure of your wealth. How do I know that? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace, there it is again, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Jesus is the measure of your wealth. And it was the grace of God, it was the grace of God in Jesus that was saying, though He was rich, for your sake He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Rich in all things. Now, you know this. You know I'm not just talking about money. You know that that's just a part of it. You know that rich and wealthy means rich in all things. You know that it means life as a whole, wholeness in your life. How do we have that? Through Jesus. Jesus is the measure of our wealth. That's who He is. He's the Word made flesh. Jesus is your healing. Jesus is your provision. Jesus is the measure of your wealth. Romans chapter 8, when He gave you Jesus, He gave you all things. Jesus is your gift from God. You understand what I'm saying? Do you see that? Do you see that Jesus is a demonstration of the love of the Father towards you? That's who Jesus is. And there's so many things here that we could cover. I mean, Jesus is the measure not only of your wealth, He's the measure of your strength. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Philippians chapter 4 says, I have strength for all things in Christ? Now, this is going to be a good lesson here for you and I to learn. When we make these confessions, we call them confessions of faith, make sure that you have the key, the power key in that confession. If you're just walking around saying, I can do all things, 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 that's not exactly true, because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But when you take this scripture and make it a complete confession, you say, I have strength for all things in Christ, which strengthens me. That is a powerful confession. So Jesus is the key to all of this. Jesus is the key to you overcoming. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Well, almost. You're an overcomer through Him who loves you. How do you overcome in this world? Through Him who loves you. It's the love of God that causes you to be an overcomer. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is your healing. Jesus is your provision. Jesus is your gift from God. Jesus is the measure of your strength. He's the measure of your wealth. He's the measure of your ability. It's not your own experience that qualifies you, is it? It's Him. It's Jesus in you that qualifies you. Let me begin to close this, and we could talk for so long about who Jesus is. And we should. We should talk for all of eternity about who Jesus is. But let me begin to wrap this up in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Turn there with me. You need to see this for yourself. Matthew chapter 13. And if you've ever heard me discuss any of these things before, then you've probably heard me refer to Matthew 13. It has to be one of my favorite places in all of Scripture. Let me read this to you. This is Jesus speaking in the book of Matthew chapter 13, the 44th verse. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like." Now, he's about to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. So whenever you hear that statement, "the kingdom of heaven is like," our attention should just come way up right then, because Jesus is about to tell us this is how God does things and this is how we operate in His kingdom. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all he has and buys the field." Okay, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure, and it's hidden in a field. Now, a man was working in this field, and he found it. He just stumbled across it, and when he found it, for joy over it, he went and hid that treasure. He hid it in a place that nobody could find it. Nobody else could get to it. And for joy over it, he went and sold everything that he had to buy the treasure. No, he bought the field. Now imagine this. Jesus is painting a picture here. This is a parable, and he's saying, imagine, if you will, somebody that got so excited over a treasure that they found, they hid it, and they went home and they sold everything they had. Ladies, let me ask you a question. What would you think of your husband if he came home this afternoon or evening and he's just almost panicked and in a frenzy saying, "Sweetheart, get everything together. We're going to sell everything. We're getting it all together. Everything's got to go. We're getting rid of everything. We're getting rid of dishes. We're getting rid of clothes and furniture and cars and the kids and your mom. It's all got to go," right? And she's saying, "No, hold on, settle down. Why are you doing this?" Now, unless he's got a good explanation, she's probably going to think everything her family's ever said about this guy is true. He is absolutely crazy. But when she finally gets him to stop and says, "Okay, why? Why are you selling everything we've got? What has gotten into you?" And he looks at her, he pulls her in close, and he says, "Sweetheart, I don't have time to explain, but I'm buying a field." Wow. Okay. Ladies, do we get the picture here? I mean, what on earth are you going to say in response to, "I'm buying a field"? Now, when you go look at that field, or anybody else, once word has gotten out to all the neighbors that your husband has lost his mind and word gets out that he's going to buy a field, everybody goes to the field and they look there at that empty patch of grass and dirt and rocks and nothing. Maybe there's a tree over there, maybe. But when he's standing there looking at that field, and he's just so excited, and he's all big and happy about it, and everybody's looking at him going, "Have you lost your mind? Are you crazy?" Because when they look at it, they see nothing but what? Grass, dirt, rocks, nothing. When he looks at that field, he sees the treasure hidden in the field. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is the treasure. And this man was so crazy, so excited about what he had found, he sold everything. Why? Because when he looked at that treasure, he found that that treasure could replace everything that he had and more. Not only would it replace just this, what he owned right now, it would buy back everything he had and more. How could any one thing replace everything you've got? Maybe some of you guys are thinking, "Oh, there's this beautiful car, $200,000. I know if I sold everything, I could have that car." Well, yeah, but then what? You've sold your house, so you got nowhere to live. You're living in your car. You've sold your clothes, so you can't get out of the car. You don't have any money to eat, and even if you did, you wouldn't let anybody eat in the car because it's so not. How could anything be worth everything? Well, when you recognize that the treasure is worth not only everything you own, but so much more. He sold everything to have that treasure, to have the treasure that was in the field. Jesus went on to say the kingdom of heaven was like a merchant seeking pearls. And when he found one pearl of great value, great price, he sold everything to have the pearl. Why? Because in that day and time, the pearl was considered one of the most beautiful things anybody could hold in their hand. So beautiful. Its sheer beauty was worth everything he owned. It's not like the guy in the field. The treasure was worth everything to him because he saw the potential in it, right? He saw the potential to replace everything and more. This guy saw beauty. You remember when Jesus said there was a woman that lost a silver coin? She had 10 and she lost one. So she tore apart everything till she found it. And when she did, she called all her friends together and rejoiced and said, "Rejoice with me, I found which was lost." And Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of heaven does when one is brought into the kingdom. What are we saying here? We are saying that God is this crazy man in the field who sold everything he had to buy you. The kingdom of heaven is in you, Jesus said. There's treasure in you. Yeah, I know, you look in the mirror and you see nothing but a patch of grass, dirt, and rocks. But you know what? You need to stop that and you need to see the treasure that's hidden in you. And what price was paid for you? Jesus is the price that was paid for you. So don't you ever again come before God and say, "I'm not worth it, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth the price." Don't tell that man that it wasn't worth it. Don't tell this man seeking pearls that it wasn't worth it. It's more beautiful. When God looks at you, he sees beauty in you. Don't tell that woman, "Hey, you've got 9 more coins." Why? Because those were special to her. They made up her wedding headdress and it represented her wedding and her marriage. Don't tell her that it wasn't worth it. Why? Because that coin, was it so expensive and worth it, had all this value? No, the value was in the connection to her heart. The value was what it meant to her heart. Listen to me. You are connected to the heart of God through the price that was paid for you, which is Jesus. You don't get to determine what you're worth. When you tell God, "I'm not worthy," you are saying, "I'm not worth the price that was paid." But you listen to me and you listen well. The price paid determines the value. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You were bought with a price." The price that was paid for you determines what you're worth. You were worth every stripe on his back. You were worth what he went through. You were worth death, hell, the grave, and resurrection. That is what you are worth. Father, we receive the precious price that was paid for us. Jesus Christ himself was the price that was paid. And when you got him, you got us. And when you got us, you got him. And everything was restored to you, Lord. And we accept that you paid that for us. And never again will we say we're unworthy. But we stand boldly in our righteousness with you. And we receive by grace, by faith, everything your grace has given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, everyone needs help at times. And it just depends on whenever you need it, I guess.
Yes, everybody does. No one's perfect.
I need help all the time. I need Christ every day, all day. It's a 365-day thing. They say 24/7, as they say.
We can't make it through this world without, first of all, our church family or without God. I mean, we can't do anything on our own. We're always stronger in numbers.
Who is God to you? An awesome force that demands obedience? An intimidating authority eager to punish? Or a loving father who wants the best for your life? All the mystery, myths, and confusion about who God is can leave you uncertain. The Discovering God package, featuring Jeremy Pearson's innovative book, Hello, My Name is God, and Sarah Hart Pearson's musical devotion, Love Songs for the King, is a book and CD set that reintroduces God's relationship with us. Together, Jeremy and Sarah Pearson's minister out of their desire to see everyone come to know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Jeremy's groundbreaking book, Hello, My Name is God, reveals God's desire to know you personally and how God wants you to know him intimately. The Discovering God package is designed so that you can know God by experiencing Him for yourself. Order the Discovering God package today for only $15. This package includes Jeremy Pearson's new book, Hello, My Name is God, and Sarah Pearson's new praise and worship CD, Love Songs for the King. For a product discount and faster processing, order through our website at kcm.org or call using our toll-free number, 800-600-7395. See God in a new and personal way. Order your Discovering God package today.
I would love for you to allow my wife Sarah and I to be a blessing to you. That is why we've developed these new products. Sarah's got her brand new CD, Love Songs for the King. You've heard me talk so much about this, and I absolutely adore her, and I adore this CD. The Spirit of God is all over it. The Word of God is all over it. You need to get a hold of these, especially if you love to worship the Lord. It's just a help to you in doing that. And then, of course, the book that I've written, Hello, My Name is God, and this is what we've been studying. And the way I end this book is with what we've talked about over the last couple of days, talking about who Jesus is. And it's hard. Do you put that at the beginning? Do you put it at the middle? I wanted to end strong with that. And there's so much more even in the book than I was able to get to on these broadcasts. So get a hold of these. I know you're going to be blessed by it. I want to let you know too that where this book and this CD are concerned, this isn't something we're just trying to get in your hands in this form. We are going to go on the road with this stuff. As a matter of fact, in November, November 20th and 21st, Sarah and I will be in Atlanta, Georgia, at the JW Marriott in Atlanta. We want to invite you, if you're in that area, even a couple hours around that area, come and be a part of this meeting. We're doing 2 days, a Friday night and then an all-day Saturday kind of thing, where we're coming in and we're going to preach the messages that are in this book. We're going to worship with the songs that are on this CD. So how great would it be if you came and you were already singing the songs and you were already in agreement with what's being said? Man, the Lord is going to do some amazing things. Hello, my name is God. We are saying hello, Atlanta. We want you to join us in November. There's more information about these meetings and all the other KCM meetings. My family, mom and dad, aunts and uncles and grandparents, we are going out and we are doing everything the Lord will allow us to do to reach our country and reach this world with the Word of God. KCM.org is a great resource for you to get more information about these meetings and about these messages. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and my wife Sarah is going to be on the broadcast with me tomorrow, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our online store today at kcm.org to purchase this broadcast on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you. Walk in the blessing and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same: God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Words you can build your life upon. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Every song that we sing, every time we approach the Lord, even if we're not singing, we have to approach Him with that same spirit of faith.